So 50 years ago, I was a young mom with two children, and I was on welfare because I couldn't get a job at that time, and it was very hard to find housing if you were a single mom. And I moved into Raymer because it offered me housing that was stable and I wouldn't have to move around a lot. And I had two daughters. One daughter was 6 and she was going to Lord Admiral School. And my other little girl, who was 3, was at home. And so from the picture in my living room in Raymer in the high rise, I have a full view of the trains coming and going on the tracks on Raymer. Trains coming and the trains going. And my daughter, who was going to school and she was in grade 1, had to go out there every morning and usually wait for the trains to come and go before she could cross the tracks to get to school. Sometimes the trains would stop right in the middle of the walkway that the kids were going to cross to get to school. So the bell would ring from the school telling the kids they had 5 minutes to get to school. And if you were a child who didn't cross the tracks and the tracks had stopped and were in your way, you couldn't get to school on time. Many of the kids would try and climb between the two railway cars. There's always a big break between the railway cars. And that was really dangerous because sometimes the trains would go frontwards, then they'd back up and go backwards. And if you were a child on that ledge, trying to get to school, and you were caught on the ledge there, you could fall off and easily fall under the railway cars. So mothers like myself, we looked at this and we saw the danger in kids trying to cross the track and the continuous up and down of the trains, never respecting kids' rights to go to school in a safe way. We phoned the railway company and asked them to not run the railway cars between 8:30 in the morning and 9, between 11:30 and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and also after school. All these times were necessary so the kids could come and go to school safely. And we sent letters and we wrote petitions and we phoned them. We phoned City Hall and we phoned them again and no one heard us. They would just ignore us. So if you're a mother looking at your child going across to school every day and having to cross the tracks and never know if there's a train coming or not, it makes you very anxious. So when they didn't listen to our phone calls, we decided we had to do something to get their attention. So one morning, 50 years ago in January, a group of us, I think there was about 12 of us, not everybody where we lived agreed with us, but 12 of us felt strongly enough that we really believed we were doing the right thing for our children. So we went out there one morning and we linked arms and we held on to each other and we knew the train was coming from the waterfront up towards to go to Broadway, going, I guess, north or going south. So we stood out there, about 6 of us across, holding on to each other's arms, and we heard the train coming. And we could feel the train coming under our feet because when the train moved, it's so heavy, it was moving the soil. Anyways, we saw the train coming and we just hoped it would stop. And it did stop. And the men got off the trains and yelled at us and called us some names because we were bad women. We should have been at home, blah, 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 blah. And we just stood there and we said, our kids have to cross these tracks every day and you make it unsafe for them to cross. So we stayed there all day and the big bosses from the railway company rushed over to tell us that they would stop doing this. And the City Hall officials came down from City Hall, where the mayor and all the aldermen and city councilors exit and told us to come to City Hall and explain ourselves. But we couldn't because there was a bus strike. How do we get to City Hall when none of us have any cars? I did ask the acting mayor who came to visit us if he would send the limousine for us, and he ignored me. But a friend who was there supporting us, she had a little Volkswagen, and the whole bunch of us climbed in this little Volkswagen. We left some women on the track, and some of us went to City Hall, talked to City Hall about the need to make a safe passage for the kids to cross the tracks. Well, we got to City Hall, and they told us we had not followed group procedure in coming before City Council, so please go home. So after all our efforts to get there, they weren't going to listen to us anyway, so we got back to the tracks. When we got down there, the CNR and the BNR, those were the railway companies, said, "We hear you. We are not going to run the trains at certain times of the day, mainly in the morning, at lunchtime, and after school." We were so happy. We clapped our hands. We were happy. We won. This was a very good thing. And we all went home. We thought the job was done. We stood tall, faced them, and we won. Well, 2 weeks later, the trains are now running just like they always did. Anytime they want to go, they travel up and down the tracks. Doesn't matter what time the kids are going to school. They have forgotten the agreement that they had with us. They just forgot it. That was on January the 5th or 6th we went out there. On January the 25th, we had to go back to the tracks and stop the trains once more to tell them they were violating the agreement. We needed safe passage for the kids to come and go to school without the trains being in their way. So a small group of us this time went out on the tracks. Again, we stopped the trains. People got off the trains, they apologized. People from the CNR and the BNR, they rushed down there and they said, "It's been a big mistake. We're sorry, it won't happen again." And I think somebody bought us a case of beer, and we were happy, and we went home because we felt we had a good agreement. They had admitted their mistake, and we understood they made a mistake, and we went home. We were happy. Well, a month and a half later, the trains are back to running up and down the tracks when they want. Doesn't matter whether it's 8 in the morning, 12 at noon, after school, the trains are traveling up and down the tracks. Again, the kids are having to stand there and wait for the trains to finish passing before they can cross the barrier. There's no arm, there's no light there. The kids just have to pay attention to when the trains are not traveling. Well, they forgot the promise. The kids were back to climbing over the cars. If the train stopped and blocked their way, the kids would climb through the cars to get onto the other side of the railway track to go to school. The deal was not a good deal for us. They did not listen to us, and we were very, very sad. So again, we thought we have to do something to make them listen to us. They do not take the lives of our children very serious. So we had a meeting, and we had more people this time come to the meeting because they could see what was happening. And we had so many people come in from the community who said, "You're doing the right thing. We're really proud that you're standing up to the railway, and, you know, this needs to stop." So we had to look for a tent. And one of the mothers in Raymer had a big tent. It had a hole in it, but it was still a big tent. So on a Wednesday, in the end of March, we were so tired of listening to them, we put the tent up. Banged it up in the morning, bang, 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 got it up going. Then we stood there and waited for the train to come. It came, stopped, got out, yelled at us a bit. Then they left, backed the train up and took it down back to the water. Well, Burlington North, all the people from the railway companies appeared very quickly and said they made a mistake. And we said, "We know you made a mistake." Then they sent us a letter. They sent two of us a letter saying, You better go home, you're trespassing. And you better be in court tomorrow to answer these trespassing charges. They were now taking us to court. So we kept the tent up. It was raining, it was cold. That's what I remember, really, it was cold. We kept the tent up overnight. There was a community bus in the neighborhood. It was called the Now Bus. And they came and parked the bus right near the railway track so we could not be outside all the time. We had a place to go in and have a coffee. People were bringing us food. We had to keep the tracks occupied so they couldn't get any trains back by and so they wouldn't take our tent down. So the next court, some of us had to go to court to answer the charges that we were trespassing. So there was bus service at this time, but we got a couple cars to drive us down to the courthouse. And we went into the court, and the CNR and DNR, that's the railway companies who own those tracks, they had 7 lawyers. 7 lawyers for a little group of women like us. So anyways, we went into the court. The judge listened to their story, then he listened to our story. And then we decided to take a break because we were sort of at a standstill. And we went out into the lobby to talk for a minute to see what we should do because the railway company said one thing, we said something else, and that's where it was, and the judge was listening. So we went out in the hallway to talk. And there was a young lawyer there by the name of Bruce McCall. His name was Bruce. And he said, they have not served you papers properly. They've sent you a letter asking you to leave the track. But for them to get you off the track, they need to serve you an injunction. And they have not served you an injunction. Let me represent you and I will go in and talk to the judge. So we thought that's a great idea. So after the 10 minutes, the mothers, myself included, we went back in the court, as did the lawyers for the railway company. They came back in and Mr. McCall said, explained our situation, and that we had not been served papers to leave the tracks. And the judge said, you're right. The women have not been served their papers correctly, and I'm going to take this out of the courts. So we were happy because they didn't get the injunction to get us in the tent off the track. So we immediately left the courthouse and went back to the tent to guard it. So we spent that night, well, we spent the night before we were guarding the tent. People would sleep in shifts. Some people would sleep, you know, and go come in late or, you know, come back a few hours later. Some of us stayed in the bus, but we all had to go home and cook food for our kids and carry on being mothers because that's what we were. So it was a really a lot of work to do to try and keep the tracks covered, you know, with somebody being there and plus go home and look after our children. So the first night wasn't too bad. Then the second day, they sent the bailiff to serve us papers. And when they serve you papers, legal papers to cease and desist, they have to put the paper in your hand or it has to touch your body. And we knew that they were coming to serve us papers properly. And my friend and I, who were named on the injunction, we were supposed to hide that day so they couldn't find us. So we decided to hide. But unfortunately, they caught us. And they caught me on the railway track because I was out there checking up to see how things were going. And I saw this guy in a very spiffy suit walking towards me. So I started running down the track as fast as I could. And he ran behind me and he threw the injunction at me and it hit me in the shoulder. So he had served me my papers. So I had to be in court to go in and listen to them tell me to get off the tracks. Well, we knew once they had served us the papers, we were going to obey the order because we didn't want to be disruptive when we weren't legal and we wanted to be legal. So the fact that they have served us the papers meant that they had gotten they were going to get their injunction in the courthouse. And we had a meeting that night on the Mau bus, discussed it, and decided that we would take the tent down and allow the operations to go through. Now, once we did that, we had from the CNR and the Vancouver City Council an agreement that an overpass would be built so that the kids would not have to walk across those tracks. There would be an overpass built. So that was really good. So the city had to expropriate the land. Somebody owned a piece of land there and they needed part of that land to build the overpass. So the city said, we're going to expropriate that property so we can build an overpass. And the city paid 15% of the cost, I think it was. The railway companies, I think, paid about 35% of the cost of the overpass. And the federal government paid the rest of those costs to build that overpass. We were very proud of ourselves because we stood up in a very nonviolent way for what we believe to be right, and this time we won. And until the overpass was built, which took a few months to build, they were very good at keeping their word. They did not run the railway cars between 8:30 and 9:15 in the morning. They did not run them at lunchtime, nor did they run them during the after-school hours. And they kept their promise until the overpass was built. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.